I know His grace is sufficient for me. Hallelujah. Like I said, by the special grace of God, I won't take much of our time, and we'll go straight into, you know, what the Lord wants to do, you know, in our midst today. And it's a great privilege standing before God's own children, or God's own people, you know, to be sharing His word, you know, with us. And also, I want to say thank you to our Papa, that's Reverend Olumide and Dr. Ajoke. I know we all miss them, they're not here. And we pray for much more grace over their life. And as they've gone to refresh themselves for the journey ahead, we ask that God will continue to strengthen them on all sides in the mighty name of Jesus. We're going to go into the word quickly. And the word today is, what do you see? What do you see? I know in the world today, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, even the world, the systems, everything. It all belongs to God. But the thing there is, what do you see? Because, you see, there's so much distractions. There's so much chaos, distortions happening in these systems. And this thing is, you know, shifting our focus. It's shifting our gaze away from Him. And like I like to tell people or say, you see, distraction in itself is an enemy to distinction. I believe there's something He's saying in this season of our lives, in this season with our walk with Him, in this season to us as a house. So what do you see? I know in the past few weeks we've been dealing about altars. And then by God's special grace, we've been, you know, praying and fighting, you know, those altars, generational altars, breaking generational cycles and, you know, things that even knowingly or maybe unknowingly, you know, somehow is affecting us. But that's good. We wouldn't stop there. But saying, what do you see? And quickly, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 7. Our text will be taken from 2 Kings chapter 7 from verse 3 to 9. Please, can you put it up in the screen if you can? 2 Kings chapter 7 from verse 3 to 9. You see, why we before we read the scripture, I want to say a few things. We all know by now that there's such a difference between goals and visions. Hallelujah. But the thing is, setting goals is, I know it's such a fundamental part of achievement, because people that set goals for themselves, they tend to know, you know, what they want to achieve and, you know, where they want to, you know, succeed in or where they are going to. And it is until you know what you want, you can't make a map of how to get there. And that's why to live a purpose-driven life, there are two questions you ask yourself. One is, who am I? What am I doing here? But then, what I found out that is more important is you asking yourself that question. That's who you are and whose you are. So who are you? And from whom, you understand, do you come from? So let's go to that place in the scripture, 2 Kings chapter 7. If we have chapter 7 from verse 3 to now, I'll read from King James. It says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die.' And they arose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. You see, there are lessons to be learned from this story, like we know, we must have heard about it, and which is the lesson of faith and hope. But there's really something I want us to, you know, take from that scripture where we've read. And that's why I asked us that question: what do you see? You see that the Bible talks about there were four leprous men. And when you begin to look at it, how many of us have ever seen lepers before? No. Or where I come from, I've seen, you know, although they are kind of section. But there's really something about, you know, people with that, you know, kind of disease. And because they are seen as unclean, and that's why from the days, you know, of old, they're usually, you know, being put outside of the city so that they don't do what they don't like contaminate people, because it's infectious, isn't it? And when you begin to look at the physical form or, you know, characteristics of, you know, someone with that sort of disease, you see, like, they don't have, you look at their fingers, it's all, you know, being cut off. Even you look at their toes and all of that. So there's really nothing much, you know, they can do because of how deep, you know, that disease really does eat into them. And because of this, you know, they were put outside of the gate from where we read there. You see, they were taken out. And you begin to understand and think about their kind of situation. Like, what would they be thinking about? You know, they're probably, you know, definitely they'll be faced with the whole element. Whenever the sun comes, they'll be under the scorching sun. Whenever it rains, you know, they're under the rain there. Whatever the weather is, whether it's snowing, they are there. Why? Because that's where man has relegated them to be. Because of what they are going through. Whether or not they eat or not, whether or not they feed, maybe nobody cares. Hallelujah. But their place is always where? Outside the gate. So they are faced with all manner of things. Probably they have no reason to exist. And the thing there is, if you read from verse 1 of that scripture, before we get to the story of the leper there, or the four leprous men there, the Bible talked about there was a famine. There was a famine there. So think of, probably these men were getting food from people, and now within the city, you understand? But now people even living within the city are still going, they are going through, you know, famine. So there's really nothing. That means they don't even have much for themselves, let alone thinking about people that, you know, have been relegated to outside of the city. So if you look at it, for them, it was very difficult because it was already a lose-lose. You know, you hear people say it's a win-win situation, isn't it? So whether the, you know, probables will favor you one way or the other, it's a win-win. But for them, it was a lose-lose situation. And why that question, what do you see? When we begin to look at, you know, the lives of these men in context, thing is, I'm not talking about the physical, you know, deformities. Yes, we can see that's the expression of, you know, them being lepers. But then, if we begin to look at our lives, what are those things we see in our lives that has a form of this man? What are those things we are going through that looks like, oh, we've been pushed out of the city? Oh, that looks like, oh, we've been relegated behind? That looks like, oh, you know, it's almost like, you know, we've lost contact with the world. You know, nobody cares about us. No, nobody thinks about us. Let's begin to ponder about those things. What are those things that make us look like, you know, we're in a situation where we are poor, we are pitiable, we're like objects of, you know, ridiculed, we have been despised. Think about it and think about the lives of those men. What do you see? But there was something about them, and that's where the story kind of anchors on. They had faith. They had hope as well. And these men said to themselves that already we know there's famine in, you know, in the city. And we've been hungry, or them being hungry, they said, it's better off for us to go to the camp of the enemy. You know, the Bible says something that hope deferred makes the heart what sick. But they said to themselves, if we die, we die. But let's go there and deliver ourselves to them. And the hope that when they get there, you know, somehow they'll get food to eat, even if they knew they were going to die. So that's some strong faith there. Hallelujah. That's somewhat strong faith there. So like I asked the question, what happens, you know, when you find yourself in dry seasons or spells of your life? You know, not just the physicality of those lepers, you know, in their state. So what happens when you find yourself, you know, you're being left alone? You feel like you're rejected. You feel like, you know, heaven no longer hears you. You think about situations that you feel like, oh, you've been counted out. What happens? Do you see ahead? Or do you just go back and say, oh, no, I can't do anything. I can't go further. Do you remain or do you advance? And the interesting thing there, the Bible says is, once they had willed that in their heart, as they began to advance, hallelujah, as they began to do what? Advance. Then what did God do? God began to magnify their footsteps. You see, why I had to kind of give us a clear picture of how, you know, the situation must have been for the leprous men was because when you see people with no fingers, you know, we are very much privileged and, you know, it's a blessing for us that, you know, we got every members of our body, you know, complete. You can clap your hands, you know, even if you hit your palm together with your fingers, you make that rhythmatic, you understand, noise. You can stomp on your feet, isn't it? And even some people go tap dancing, isn't it? But it's not the same case for these people. But because they had willed it in their heart, they believed if we remain where we are, then that's it. We just have to do what? Advance and move forward. And once they had willed that, they had proposed that in their heart. If you read that, the Bible says that from verse 5, that as they began to, you know, and as they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. So it meant that once they had taken that step, God had started to, you know, make their footstep like sounds of chariots, like sounds of horses. And when the enemies in their camp heard it, they all fled. Hallelujah. You see, it brings me to a point where, like I always say something, when God speaks, everything he hears. And that's the same thing. God honors our faith. And that's why when you propose in your heart to do something in faith, without you having doubt, he begins to do what? He begins to perform it. So whatever situation you find yourself, all you just need to do is to do what? Take that first step. And that's it. You know, it might not make sense, but let it make faith. Hallelujah. It might not what? It might not make sense, but let it make what? Faith. That's what I tell people. The moment they took that first step, God began to magnify their footsteps so loud, so much that, you know, their enemies, even with, I believe, with all the arsenals and all the armories and everything they had at their disposal, they were like, oh, wow, I think we've been outnumbered. I think the king of Israel has gone to hire, you know, other kings, you know, to come join in this battle and, you know, finish us. And because of that, they did what? The Bible says what? They fled. And when they got there, and when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, that's verse 8, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again. Hallelujah. And entered into another tent and carried the same thing also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. That was just talking about how they were wowed and how they became so marveled about at what they were saying. But what am I trying to say to us this morning? What do we see? What do we see? Begin to ask yourself that question. What do I see? There's a difference, like I said, between visions and sight. I believe if those men had walked by sight, they wouldn't have been able to advance. Because from all indication, nothing was favorable to them. From all the whole metrics, from by every calculation, there was nothing what favorable to them. Nothing was playing in their favor. But that's the thing. You know, while you talk about sight, why it restricts you to, you know, what is it called? Just, you know, that physical state, you know, to your emotions. You know, it restricts you to, you know, or how you feel. Or like some people say, oh, this is the fact. Hallelujah. Oh, this is the fact. Yeah. I'm not saying there are no facts out there. But I'd rather choose to walk in faith and hold on to the one that can change that fact. You understand? To become real. Hallelujah. And I believe this is what these men did. So there are a whole lot of lessons for us to learn from this story. But I've come here that I may encourage us. Because sometimes we look at things happening around us. We look at our peers in life. We look at situations, you know, that has relegated us. We look at things we've missed out in life that has given us a backseat. We look at times how we've been taken away. Just think about that situation. They've been taken away from their fortress. Because their fortress was meant to be that city. But they were taken out of the city. And they were left out there to die. They were left out there to their fate. But thank God, because of their own faith, F-A-I-T-H, God honored it and there was abundance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So like I said, because I want us to really pray and I don't want us to, I'm not going to take much of our time, but I want us to really pray. And I want us, before we go into the time of prayer, we'll begin to ask ourselves some questions and begin to, you know, genuinely, intentionally, begin to look at our lives, begin to x-ray our lives and think in any area, you know, just have a picture, begin to envision it and say, oh, where's this place, you know, where I've been shortchanged? You can begin to look at the Bible. There are a lot of people that they weren't moved by what they were saying. An example was the woman with the issue of blood. You see, the Bible says there that she had suffered a lot of things from the hands of many physicians. But the moment she began to do what? To fix her gaze, to fix her faith in Jesus, she knew, oh yes, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. You see, at times we tend to magnify our problems. We tend to, you know, magnify what we are going through. But like the popular saying, you know, which, you know, people do normally say, instead of magnifying those problems, start magnifying your God and telling those problems how big your God is. That woman, She chose not to do what? Magnify that problem of the issue of blood anymore. And she said, you know what? I will let you know how big my God is. And the moment she went and touched the hem of his garment, immediately she was made whole on the spot. So what does it tell us? God honors our faith. And as long as we genuinely walk in it, as long as we do not doubt, because the Bible says that a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways and he cannot receive anything from God. So as long as we are not double-minded towards it, as long as we walk in it, because we are already seeing where we should be, we are already seeing, oh, what it should look like. It may not be looking like it now, but we don't choose to profess to say, oh, it's not looking like it now. We choose to be on the side where, oh, this is how it should look like. And that's why it's very important, you know, that whatever it is we are saying or we are seeing, let it begin to match with what is in our hearts. Let it begin to match with what we are saying, what we are confessing. Because confession brings about what? Possession. So whatever it is you are seeing, that's why I ask the question, what do you see? You know, some people, they bring upon themselves, you know, by their words. And the Bible says, you know, by our own words, you know, we are snared. You know, we've trapped ourselves. We've put ourselves into very dangerous situations, knowingly or unknowingly at times. So what we are seeing should begin to match up with what we are saying. What we are saying should begin to match up with what we are professing, what we are confessing. And as long as that, you know, we keep on in that process, in that circle, definitely it will catch up. And once it catches up, definitely whatever it is we are believing God for, it will just happen like a dream. It will just happen in a flash. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want us to begin to think. Like I said, we're going to pray, but I just want us to prepare our minds and begin to ask yourself. I know for most people, maybe the year has only just started. For most people, they're already lost. Like, oh, we've gone past the new year. And they seem to have no, like, direction yet. They seem to not know what's even happening to me. So good news is, if you have or you find yourself or you think you're in that sort of situation, I believe that there's much more grace available in the house this hour. So whatever it is, if you begin to think that, oh, I can't find my path yet, oh, it's not looking like it yet, what I've come to say to us this afternoon is we're going to keep speaking it until it looks like it. Hallelujah. Because begin to say to yourself, you know, begin to think, you must have dwelt long enough. Like, you know, God said to, was it Joshua, you know, after the death of Moses, to tell the children of Israel, you people have dwelt too long on this mount. It's time for you to do what? To move forward. It's time for you to do what? To advance. And a lot has been said about this year. It's been declared our year of fullness. And for you to enter into that fullness, it's already been declared the year of fullness. But God has done his own part. Hallelujah. We also have our own part to do what? To do. We also have our own role to do what? To play. And we are going to keep declaring it. We're not going to keep short. We're going to keep saying it, that we enter into our fullness. Whether be it in our family, in our jobs, in our ministry, in our career, whatever it is we are believing God for, maybe even in our health, even in this house, even in our community, whatever it is, you know, even in our families, we begin to speak it and say, God, Lord, we've entered into our fullness. So it may not be looking like it. All you need to do is to do what? Have faith in God. All things are what? Possible. Have faith in God. And I've come here to encourage us this afternoon. Let's fix our gaze on him. And that's why we took that song. He moves mountains. He causes walls to fall. He did it for them there. He made a way. And why am I saying that? If you read from verse 1 of that chapter 7, there was a word that went out. How many prophecies, you know, have we heard in the past years or in the last decade? Or, you know, how many words, you know, have come from God and you're saying, oh, is it going to happen? Does it look like it or will it not happen? I've come to say to us this morning, have faith in God. Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might these things be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." And that's why I said, when God speaks, everything he hears. He spoke it through his prophet. His prophet did what? Declared it. And someone tried to counter God and say, "Well, how shall these things be? Because there's nothing looking like it's going to happen. I mean, this is a season of drought. This is a season of dryness. I mean, there's really nothing. So how shall these things be?" And he said to him, "Because you have not believed it, you will see it, but you will not partake thereof." May that never be our portion in Jesus' name. So if we can, I want us to be on our feet. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? It's not too late for God. It's not too late for him to change that situation. It's not too late for him to heal you. It's not too late, you know, for him to come through for you. But what do you see? Because I believe there's a lot of things, you know, is proposed for us. There's a lot of things, you know, is made available. There's a lot of things he has for us in his agenda and plan, you know, in this new year, especially 2020 and beyond. But what do you see? Are we going to be a people where, you know, we begin to use the confessions of our mouths, you know, to begin to cancel and, you know, to begin to delay or to begin to, you know, even unconsciously, you know, begin to stop or halt, you know, all the good things he said concerning us, all the good things he spoken concerning our lives, concerning our families, concerning even this great house? What do you see? I believe he's called us for much more. He's called us for something greater, for something bigger. And his word has come today to remind us that, what are you saying? What are you magnifying? What are you magnifying? Are you magnifying that problem? Are you magnifying that situation? Are you making that situation bigger than, you know, your God? Are you making it look like, God can't do it? Or are you having doubts, he will not do it, he won't come through? What do you see? If you want a testimony that God does exist, this very man standing here, I think I'm a proof. If you also want a proof that, where does God, habitate or live? I believe this great house, definitely, there are lots of proof there for us to see. So I don't want us to be shaking this morning in our faith. Let it stay steadfast on him. So let's just begin to open our mouths to him and begin to pray to our God, to our King. He's the one that can make a way where there's no way. There's a song, a songwriter says, "Until my only gaze is you." You see, whatever has been distractions to us, whatever that has distorted our focus on him, whatever that shifted our visions, you have great plans. There are great things you want to do. Have you given up? Do you no longer see them? Do you no longer envision them? Have you closed shop and say, you know what? I've had enough. I don't think, it's too late. I don't think he can come through anymore. That's his question to us this morning. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? So begin to say to him, God, any way my visions, any way, you know, my focus has shifted, Lord, I align it back to you. Lord, I choose to see what you have for me. I choose to see your great plans. Lord, I choose to hold firm and steadfast on you, God. Lord, I choose to hold on firmly and steadfast on you, God. Lord, I see you. I see your grace. Lord, I see your abundance. I see your abundance. Yes, come on. I see your abundance. I see your abundance. Lord, I see your abundance. Yes, Lord, I see that situation changing. Lord, I see that situation changing. Lord, that place where men has despised me. Lord, that place where men has, you know, relegated me to the back. Lord, I see it changing. Lord, I begin to profess and say, I confess your word over it. Lord, I see it changing. I see it turning around for my good. Yes, come on, let's take it up. Let's take it up. Lord, I see it turning around. I see it turning around for my good. Lord, I see it turning around. I see it turning around for my good. Lord, that mountain, I see you moving that mountain. Mountain of whatever it is, be it sickness, disease, be it lack. Lord, I see you moving them. Lord, I see you moving them. Lord, whatever that has distorted my focus, whatever that has shifted, Lord, my focus, my gaze on you. Lord, every distraction, oh God, Father, from looking on you, Father, we come against right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come against right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, give us visions to see things like you do. Lord, give us visions, yes, Lord, to see things like you do. Father, to see future possibilities. Lord, give us vision, oh God. Father, we will not be moved by our sight. We will not be moved by the functions of the eyes. Father, but we will be moved by the functions of faith. Lord, give us visions. Give us visions to see things like you do. Father, it is not late with you. Father, whatever it is you have said, you definitely will bring it to pass. Lord, in this house, concerning this house, Lord, give us visions to see things like you do, oh God. Father, whatever that has blocked, that has distorted, Lord, our vision, our gaze on you. Lord, right now we begin to speak by faith. Lord, we align them. We align them. We bring them to alignment. Come on, saints. Begin to say, Lord, we bring them to alignment. Lord, we align our hearts back. Lord, we align it back to you, back to you. Lord, because you are the God of all flesh. Lord, there is nothing hard for you to do. Lord, give us vision to see things like you do, like you do, like you do, oh God. Father, you have great plans for us. You have great plans for this house. Lord, you have great plans for everyone connected to this tribe. Lord, give us vision to see things like you do, oh God. Lord, give us visions, oh God, to see things like you do. Oh, Father, give us visions, oh God. Give us visions. Give us visions. Oh, my God. If we go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, that was, you know, when creation started. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was. If you begin to read down a couple of more verses, you begin to say, and God said, and God said, and God said. And in the end, he said, and God saw. So when you keep saying, in the end, you will do what? You will see. So I want us right now in faith, whatever it is you want him to do, begin to declare it, begin to speak it. Begin to speak it in your life right now. Begin to call those things you've not seen now as though they were. Begin to call them to be. Begin to say, yes, whatever it is, your health. Say, God, I take it back. I walk in your health. No more sickness, no more disease, no more pain. Whatever it is in your career, say, God, I take it back. Begin to call them. And I want you to begin to speak prophetically. Call it by name. Call it by name. Like I said earlier, whatever it is, as long as it has a name, there's good news for you today. Because we have a name that has been far above, given above every other name. And at the mention of that name, every knee bows. As long as it has a name. As long as that thing has a name, except it doesn't have a name. As long as it has a name. So begin to call it. And I believe this moment, God is changing it. He's turning it around. Begin to call it to be. Whatever it is you want, whatever it is you are expectant of, begin to say, God, I call these things to be. God, I call it to be. Yes, God, I take back my health. I take back, yes, Lord God, whatever it is the enemy has stolen from me, from this house, Lord, we take it back. We take it back. Lord, every of my visions, Lord God, Lord, what you showed me, what has it showed you in time past? What has it showed you? Have you given up? Say, God, I call them to be right now. Lord, it is not late with you. It is not late with you. You are always on time. Lord, have you said it? Will you not do it? Lord, have you said it? Will you not bring it to pass? Lord, have you not said it? Will you not perform it? Will you not make it good? Lord, we begin to call them back, oh God. Lord, we begin to call them back. Those good visions, those dreams. What is it he has shown to you? What is that thing God has shown to you that you have given up on? That you have given up on? I want to encourage us. Begin to say, God, I take them back. Lord, I take them back. That blueprint. Lord, that map you've shown to me. Lord, that those goals that you've shown to me. Lord, those visions you've shown to me. Lord, I take them back. I take them back. And Lord, I walk in them. I begin to run in with them, oh God. Lord, I begin to run with them, oh God. Lord, I believe your word. I believe your word, oh God. It is yes and amen, oh God. Father, I take them back. I take them back. Lord, and my God. Lord, everything you have shown to me, everything you have shown to this household, oh God. Father, in the realm of the spirit right now, Lord, we go to take them back. Lord, the thing we know we shall see. Lord, one thing we know, we will see your goodness. Lord, we will see your hand. Lord, we will see revival again. Lord, we will see reformation. Lord, you have not stopped doing them. Because the problem has never been with you. The problem has always been with us as men. But Lord, we say, we take them back. We will see them again, oh God. Lord, we walk in them again, Jesus. There is nothing hard for you to do. Father, more than anything, it is your good pleasure. It is your good will to give these things to us. And Lord, we say we take them back. We walk in them, oh God. By faith, oh God. Lord, we walk in them, oh God. Jesus, never again. Never again will our mouths be shut. Never again will our mouths be closed up. Never again will our mouths be shut. Never again will our mouths be closed up. No, never again. Concerning that situation, enough of the molestations of the devil and his agent. Enough of demonic activities. Your word says, from henceforth, let no man trouble us. For we bear in our bodies the marks of Christ. Lord, never again, never again. Lord, we choose to speak up. Lord, we choose to take our rightful place. Lord, we choose to take our rightful positions. Lord, we choose to take every allocation you have for us. Lord, because you have made provisions for me and my household. You have made provisions for this household, for everything that's pertaining to life and godliness. Lord, we walk in it. We walk in it. We walk in it, oh God. Lord, never again, never again. Never again will our mouth be shut up. Never again will we continue to allow demonic cycles, demonic or satanic agendas to flourish. Lord, we shut them up right now. We put a stop to their activities. Lord, we say never again. In the name of Jesus, we come against them, oh God. Never again. Never again. Never again. Yes, Lord God. We walk in your abundance. We walk in your fullness. Let's just begin to decree and declare these things. We walk. Our Father God showed us the example in Genesis chapter 1. He didn't like what he was seeing. What is that situation in your life that doesn't have a form, that looks void, that is not appealing? And he says, oh, let there be, let there be. And these things began to be the moment he began to say them. So let's just begin to decree and declare in this house. Lord, we walk in your fullness. Lord, we walk in your abundance. Lord, we walk in your fullness. Lord, you have said it. Lord, we believe it. And that settles it. Lord, you have said it. Lord, we believe it. And Lord, that settles it, oh God. Lord, we walk in fullness. We walk in fullness. Come on, saints. For another 60 seconds. I don't want us to shut our mouths. I believe that there's God's miracle moment that's about to happen now. He's opening a portal right now for us. All we have to do is to connect. Is to connect to that portal. Begin to say, Lord, we walk in your fullness, oh God. We walk in your fullness, oh God. Lord, you said it. Lord, we believe it. And Lord, that settles it. Concerning my business, Lord, you said it. Lord, I believe it, and that settles it, oh God. Lord, never again the counsel of Ahithophel will not stand. Whatever counsel that man has been giving, whatever counsel that is not of you, that's been hindering us, that is making us take old steps, retrogression backwards, oh God. Lord and my God, we say the counsels of Ahithophel will not stand again. Never again in our lives, never again in our destinies, never again in our careers, never again in our health, because we choose to believe your reporter. We believe your reporter. Lord, we believe your reporter. Your report says by your stripes we were healed. Lord, that is your reporter. Lord, your report says that you wish above all things that we may prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospereth. Lord, we believe it, and that settles it, oh God. Lord, we choose to see things the way you do. We choose to see things, we choose to see ourselves the way you see us, oh God. Lord, because you are a good, good Father, Lord, we are loved by you. We are loved by you, oh God. We are loved by you. Father, we bless your name. Lord, never again, never again. Never again will the enemy and his cohort molest us. We put a stop to their demonic activities, oh God. Father, as your ecclesia, oh God, Lord, we put a stop, oh God, to that voice. Come on, lastly, I hear something. Lastly, let's begin to pray. You see, just as God magnified the footsteps of those leprous men, begin to say, God, whatever that is not of you, Lord, that is magnifying itself in me, Lord and my God, begin to take it away. Begin to take it away. Begin to say, God, I magnify you. Lord, above that pain, above that hurt, Lord, I magnify you above that situation. Lord, I call you into it, oh God. Lord, we choose to magnify you. Lord, above that situation, we choose to magnify you above that health concern, above that need. Yes, God, we choose to magnify you. We are not going to tell the need how big it is, but we're going to tell that need how big and how great our God is. Yes, Lord, we choose to magnify you. Lord, we choose to magnify you, oh God. We choose to magnify you. Lord, whatever that is not of you, rearing his head, Lord, we say in the name of Yeshua, Lord, we come against them, oh God, and we say to them, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted, ye everlasting doors. Yes, right now, God, we begin to say, we magnify you in our lives, we magnify you in every situation, in every heart, desires, and concerns, oh God. Lord, we choose to magnify you. And Lord, we choose to see you. Never again, we do not see hunger. We do not see lack. We do not see rejection. We do not see depression. We do not see failure. Never again. We see God. We see God. We see God at work. And we will declare your goodness and your promises. Lord, we see you at work. Because you are working it out, oh God. You are working it out, oh God. We bless your name. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. Yes, Lord. Let's just begin to say, Lord, we bless you. Father, thank you for what you have done. Just for another 60 seconds, begin to bless this God. Begin to say, Father, thank you. Thank you, oh God. Thank you for changing my perspective today. Lord, thank you for making me see things from your own very lens. Lord, thank you for making me see myself as you see me. Lord, thank you because you love me. Thank you, oh God, for your excess love. Lord, we bless your name. Father, we thank you, oh God, because you are the God of all flesh. There is nothing hard for you to do. There is nothing impossible for you to do. Father, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Lord, we choose to believe that. We choose to believe that report, oh God. Lord, we choose to stay on you. We choose to hinge our faith on you today, oh God. Because we will look up unto you. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we give you praise. We worship your name. Father, thank you, oh God. Father, thank you because it is settled. Begin to say in your spirit, it is settled. It is settled. It is settled. This week is my week of testimony. This week is my week of a turnaround. This week is my week of breakthrough. This week is my week of favor. This week is my week of favor. Lord, it is settled. It is settled, oh God. Lord, I speak it in my spirit and I begin to see it, oh God. It is settled, oh God. Father, because you go ahead and you go before us, oh God. It is settled. We give you praise. We magnify your name. Father, we return the glory back to you. Thank you, Abba. Father, thank you, oh God, for reminding us your word and reminding us the efficacy and the power in your word. Lord, we believe it. And Lord, that settles it, oh God. We thank you because it is done. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Somebody clap those hands together for our God. You can do better than that. Hallelujah.